Well, good morning. We do have a great number of visitors, and it's so good to see each and every one of you. I think I've seen just about every one of our visitors here before at some point, and if not, at any rate, we are glad that you're here. We're encouraged by your presence, and we hope that in our worship this morning, you too will be encouraged in the praise and devotion that we are here to give to our great God. I need you to take your Bible out and turn over to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we'll be reading from that chapter here in just a moment. As you can see on the screen behind me, this is our series for 2019, a series titled Anxious and Troubled. We try and cover this series the first Sunday morning of every month, and so it being February, we're still very fresh into this series, so you haven't missed out on much if you're visiting with us this morning. But the passage that we have on the screen, Luke chapter 10, is the basis for this series and Jesus' discussion with Mary and Martha, but mainly that of Martha. Let's read Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. It says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" We see as we read in this text that Martha is distracted with much serving. After all, we can cut her a little bit of slack. The Son of God is in her own house, and she's trying to serve, trying to get everything prepared. Put yourself in her shoes. How anxious might you be? And so she says to Jesus, bothered, on top of all this going on, that her sister Mary is nowhere to be found. Mary is not helping her at all. And so she says to Jesus, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But how Jesus responds to Martha is probably what she was not expecting at all, especially what she was not hoping for. Instead, she hears, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." Anxious and troubled. In this series, we're going to spend the year looking at those many things that make us anxious and troubled, just like Martha. That we struggle with the anxieties, the worries, the pressures of this life. More often than not, when we read over this section, we relate more to Martha than we do to Mary. Oftentimes because of the anxieties that we experience in this life. And so it's very important that we understand what the Bible has to say about this topic. What does the Bible say about anxiety? And that's what we're going to be going over this morning, is understanding anxiety. And I didn't have quite room to fit it on the slide, but understanding biblical anxiety. What does the Bible say about this topic? You can go to the self-help section at Books A Million. You're going to find a lot of different answers, but what does God's Word say about the topic of anxiety? And I need to put a little qualifier in before we go any further. I need to address the fact that what we're talking about can be and is a serious issue that people of the world, but also Christians face, both male and female, young and old. And that treating anxiety and depression of severe forms, it's not going to be healed because someone hears one lesson on the topic. It's not easy, as I've heard some say, you know, singing Hakuna Matata. After all, it means no worries. Well, chemical imbalances and things of that nature, they must be taken into consideration. The solution, the compulsive, obsessive, and even social anxiety is not going to be fixed simply because one person just prays more or worships more. I don't want you to misrepresent what I'm saying. The Bible is our source for so many things. But please, if you are struggling with clinical anxiety, I pray that this lesson will help you, but understand that I'm not saying that you need to ignore medical advice and strictly follow what the Bible says and ignore medical professionals. That's not what I'm saying at all. Please understand, as the invitation song that we're going to sing talks about, the need of a physician in Jesus to heal our spiritual condition, that earthly doctors can do very good for the physical conditions that we struggle with here on earth. And so as we move forward, we need to understand. Let's work with some definitions of what anxiety is. Well, if you're reading from the ESV, you're probably going to see the word anxiety. But if you're reading from the New King James Version or the King James Version, you're probably not going to find that word. In fact, you won't. You're going to find the word care that is used in your Bible. It's oftentimes translated as care, anxiety, but also as worry, thought, or concern. And so it's a rather difficult term to keep track of in our New Testaments. It actually appears over 25 times, the word that we are talking about. And to define it, it really means one that is worrying. The idea is to be cast in two separate directions, to be divided in two. It's one who is like Martha, who is distracted and is therefore anxious. But here's the unusual thing about this word that made putting together this lesson quite difficult. I'll leave it at that. Is that you go through the New Testament and you look at all the instances where this Greek word appears, and in some ways, anxiety is something that is rebuked. It's something that is strongly warned against. But in other places, it's maybe used in a positive light. And I want you to see this as we go through it. Understand where we see it warned against. And these are probably the passages that come to your mind, like in Philippians chapter 4 in verse 6, where, and I want you to follow along in your Bible, but know that I'm not going to be slowing down. And so there will be handouts available in the back afterwards, but please try and keep up. But I do apologize in advance, we're going to be going rather quickly. Philippians 4 and verse 6, where it says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Do not be anxious about anything. Reminds us that anxiety, it doesn't often lead to anything fruitful or helpful in the Christian's life. And it's probably one of the most well-known passages on this topic. That this doesn't leave a lot of wiggle room for what we can be anxious about. When it says, do not be anxious about anything. Or maybe you're thinking of Matthew chapter 6. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount, where Christ has a lot to say about this topic. That word for anxiety or worry or care appears 6 times within these verses. And we won't read over this, but I'll summarize it, where Jesus says in verse 25, do not be anxious about your life. You shouldn't be so concerned about the physical things of your life and the material things of this world. I think verse 28 is a great point where it points out that worry and stress and anxiety, it's illogical for the Christian to have those type of anxieties. Why? Well, if God cares for the lesser creatures of His creation, how much more is He going to be concerned and care for you? And that's a great point that we need to consider. In verses 30 through 32, Jesus, it shows the harm that anxiety is, that of forgetfulness, but it also shows that of faithlessness at times too. Anxiety in verse 34 is short-sighted. That's why he says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient is the day, for the day is its own trouble. Anxiety, it always functions off the maybes and the might-bes in life. We have enough to deal with each day. Don't borrow from tomorrow. Focus on the one day at a time. A passage you may not associate with the idea of anxiety is in Matthew chapter 13 and 22. A passage maybe you've read before in the parable of the sower. Remember that thorny soil. As for what was sown among thorns, that is the one who hears the word of God, but the cares, there's that word, the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it proves unfruitful. It's those concerns, it's the anxieties of life that choke the Word of God right out. And that happens in the lives of Christians today, not just new converts as well. Or Luke chapter 10 and verse 41, the passage we already read, where Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Martha is a prime example of that negative anxiety that is warned against. In her preoccupation with serving, she robbed herself of being able to sit at the feet of Jesus, and instead she became a harsh critic of her rightly focused sister. But I think these are maybe the passages we're more familiar with. We think of anxiety, it has a negative connotation in our mind. It's something that is warned against in Scripture, and we know these passages. But what about the other side of that coin? Maybe you're looking at me going, what other side of the coin when we're talking about worry? Don't say I'm condoning worry. Don't let me finish before you make that conclusion. We're going to call this instead righteous concern, where we see that same word used, but where it's not warned against. And there's several instances that show this. Like in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there was a lot of turmoil at the church at Corinth. especially over the use of spiritual and miraculous gifts. Some were using those gifts in the wrong manner. And so Paul instructs them in verse 25 that you need to lower your self-interest and instead have more care, have more concern for your brother. Notice in verse 25 he says that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And a similar passage is in Philippians chapter 2. Where Paul writes, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who is genuinely concerned for your welfare. That word concerned in the ESV, genuinely concerned, it's that word for anxiety. Paul wrote that why he was wanting to send Timothy to the saints at Philippi was that he could rejoice in the news that he was going to share. And that sending Timothy, well, Timothy had a proper concern, a proper care for the saints there. And what a blessing it is when we know that there are Christians, not just in the local congregation we're a part of, but elsewhere throughout the country, that care for our spiritual well-being. What a blessing that is. You think about also in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 28, that whole chapter we could really point to for some context as Paul is describing all the persecutions, the hardships that he's gone through as an apostle, as a servant of the Lord. And you get to verse 28 and he says, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. He had a lot of serious hardships that he went through, but you want to know what was included in that? Was the daily pressure. The daily burden, the daily anxieties that came along with all the different congregations that he was thinking about. But you know what? I think we could use more Christians like Paul that are righteously concerned with the condition of the saints, not just in their local congregation, but worldwide. Where in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I think this passage could go technically under both categories. You might remember 1 Corinthians chapter 7, a passage talking a lot about marriage. And in verses 32 through 35, it describes that the unmarried man, he's anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But what about the married man? Well, he's anxious about the things of the world and how to please his wife. And then in verses 33 and 34, it makes the same point about the woman and the wife. That's just a natural part of the marriage relationship. That the spouses, they ought to be, I certainly hope, that they're going to be concerned. They're going to care for the needs of their spouse. But that doesn't mean it should ever come before their devotion to the Lord. And that's why Paul is saying in that context, it might be better for some of you to remain as you are, to not get married, especially in the climate in which they live. And so we see that, yes, there are times where anxiety is warned against. But also when we're viewing it as that righteous concern, that it's almost viewed in a positive light. And one simple explanation that I can give for this, and why sometimes it's warned against and why sometimes it's condoned, we'll use that word, is when it's negative and when it's warned against, the focus is always on the individual. Like in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. When we make it all about us and what we're going through and all that's on our plate, that's where the anxiety becomes sinful in many ways. But on the other hand, when we look at the righteous concern examples, the focus is on someone else. A brother or sister in Christ, the Lord's church, a spouse. But I'll tell you what, this slide right here took a lot of work. But it still didn't satisfy me enough in preparation for this lesson because I listened to a lot of different sermons. I read a lot of different articles. I was doing a lot of reading, probably more than was helpful for this lesson, to be quite honest. And I kept coming across this question that I would hear somebody answer it one way and someone answer it another way. Question is anxiety a sin? To experience any type of stress, any type of worry, any type of anxiety, is that a sin? I heard preachers and articles, well-known men that we would look up to in many ways, that would point to Matthew 6 In Philippians 4 and verse 6, that you cannot be anxious about anything. Do not worry about your life. And when you have that worry, when you have that anxiety, you have misplaced trust. And therefore, you are sinning. And that bothered me. That bothered me because what I was reading, when you look at this word in the whole scheme of the New Testament, I believe that that is an incorrect conclusion that the Bible does not teach. But it seems to be a misconception that many Christians have been taught. Brethren, anxiety becomes sinful in how we handle it. Anxiety is that of an emotion. And let me give you a close parallel, but it's not the same in every way. Think about anger for a second. When you experience anger, does that mean that you are sinning? We know the Scriptures teach, be angry and sin not. Be angry and do not sin. And we know we can experience righteous indignation. But we know how easily our anger can turn into something that's very unrighteous. I think the same applies to that of anxiety. When we think about anxiety, anxiety is that of an emotion. It's a natural reaction to things that life is going to throw our way. But be careful and don't misrepresent what I'm saying. Anxiety is a very dangerous emotion. And it can easily lead us to committing sins. That often when we become anxious, it's easy to allow those anxieties to ball up inside ourselves. And we become self-focused and self-loathing. And always focused on ourselves. And sometimes lacking the necessary faith in God. And if I'm being honest with you, and I think if you're being honest with yourself, that's the type of anxiety, sadly, that we struggle with. The anxiety that focuses more about me than on anyone else. I want to be transparent and not make you think that my life is put together perfectly. My anxiety is hardly ever dealt with in a righteous way. I look inward, I look to myself, and I don't place the necessary trust in the Lord. And let me just say, there's nothing righteous about that. But I better be able to back up what I'm saying about anxiety with more than just my opinion and rationale. I hope that was convincing, but that's not what matters. What does the Bible say about this? And I want you to see the Scriptures that I think prove that anxiety is not a sin when you just experience that worry, when you experience that stress right away. It can easily lead to it. But consider some examples with me. Was Jesus ever anxious? A lot of you are nodding your head. Good, we're on the same page. Great. Think about Matthew 26. Turn over there. As Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, it begins, we won't read all of this. I'll read just a few sections of this. In verse 36, Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. That gives us a lot of important details about what Christ is experiencing. That he is sorrowful, but he is also troubled. Not just on the outside, but on the inside, the mental anguish, the mental agony, as the text is going to go on to describe. And in Luke's account of this, over in chapter 22, 43 and 44, it says, and there appeared to him an angel sent from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Does that sound like a man that's anxious a little bit, that's worried about what is going to come up in the future? But Jesus, despite, I would say, being fully anxious of what we see, he was fully trusting. He knew that the Lord was going to watch over him. He knew what was coming. But to say that all anxiety is sinful and that it's always a lack of trust in God is to overlook the times where Jesus himself was anxious. And you remember what the Hebrew writer says about this, about the life of Christ when he was on this earth in Hebrews 5 and verse 7, where it says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. You could also look at Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus is being tempted by Satan in the wilderness. And before that happens, remember the small detail that an angel was sent to minister to him, to strengthen him, just like in Matthew 26. And as you look at the cited examples, his sweat becoming as drops of blood and the sins of the world on his shoulders, this was a man experiencing anxiety, mental anguish. But yet, Hebrews 4 tells us, as that chapter comes to an end, that he never sinned. What about the anxiety, not just of Jesus, but did Paul ever experience anxiety? Well, spoiler alert, we've already looked at one in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. As he's talking about all those persecutions that he endured in that chapter, verse 28, he felt that daily pressure of those anxieties for all the churches. In 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 5, it says, "For even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting fear, fighting without and fear within." What are fears within? I think that's more than just being afraid. That's anxiety. That's that uneasy feeling that we get when we think about tomorrow and all that's on our to-do list and we start to get worked up. That's something that Paul experienced. Or the example that we started with, the example of Martha. In Luke chapter 10, when Jesus says there, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things," is she being rebuked for sin? I think Jesus in that passage is warning her that, hey, these distractions, they're leading you down a path that you're going to get your priorities out of place. You need to pause and rethink. You need to be like your sister Mary. And I think this is the real application in the lesson for us. Is how do you handle anxiety? We look at these different examples, and where do you go with your anxiety? How do you handle it? Do we turn to ourselves and make it all about me? Or when we experience anxiety, do we turn to the Lord? Brethren, I think how we handle anxiety when it hits is where we have to be cautious and what can make anxiety sinful or not sinful. If we are so consumed with self, worrying about the things of our life and all the different things, that's where it can easily become sinful. But although you are going to feel concerned at times, do you look to God? Going to Him first before Facebook or your friends? Do we take our problems to the Lord and truly pray about it? Or when we're worried about others, we're still confident at every step in God's ability to provide as He has in the past, as He will in the future. Is that how we handle our anxiety? As we close this lesson, I want us to look at a biblical but a practical way that we can defeat our anxiety. And that's found in a passage we've already looked. Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Where it says, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything." And I hate cutting a verse off in context, but we're going to do it for just a second. The idea there in verse 5 that the Lord is at hand is not that the Lord is coming soon or that His return is imminent. But rather, I think the point Paul is making is that the Lord is with you. He's near you and He's able to help you. And so He's the one that we need to go to when anxiety, when stress hits us in our lives. Like Psalm 145 verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth." Realize that God is near you in your life, that He's at work. No, He hasn't fallen asleep on the job. He's there. He's listening. He's our mediator. And that's why we don't have to be anxious about anything. That we can be fully trusting that God's in control. We can know and have assurance of His presence in our lives. And so if you find yourself feeling anxious, just continue reading verse 6. Where it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." There's the answer. And it's one that I know some of you aren't maybe going to like. Maybe you want like a three-step plan of how you can overcome anxiety. I don't have that. There's a lot of self-help books I can point you to. But God's Word, the answer is, how do you defeat your anxiety? You take it to the Lord in prayer. You talk to God. He's the solution because He's often the only one who can actually help. The only one who can actually change the outcome of our lives. And the point is there at the second part of verse 6, but in everything. So when should you go to God in prayer when you're anxious? Just when it's about your spouse? Just when it's about the future? But in everything. In everything. The idea is, don't be a crisis prayer. You know, the person that only when times are bad, that's when they go to God. Uh-oh, I hit a huge roadblock. Time to go to the Lord. No, but in everything, the good and the bad, you take it to the Lord. Brethren, prayer is the antidote to defeating the anxiety in our lives. When Jesus was tempted in Matthew 4, when He was stressed and anxious about going to the cross with the weight of the sins of the world on His shoulders in Matthew 26, what did He do? When Paul was in prison for a large portion of his life and was beaten and mocked and all the different hardships he went through, as an apostle and servant, what did he often do? How did he start every letter that he wrote? Or what about the saints who were worried about Peter and John when they were thrown in prison for preaching the gospel? How did they spend their time? The answer is that all of them spend it in prayer. One author said, prayer is the water that extinguishes the fire of anxiety. And when we are faced with anxieties of this life, we need to be taking it right to God in prayer. And if that anxious feeling remains, what should we do? Pray again. And pray again. And pray again. Philippians 4 and verse 7. As the text goes on to say, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the result of a prayerful lifestyle, in that it is one of peace. The peace of mind and the peace of heart. And there's a direct contrast between the anxiety we face and the peace that God provides. That is the solution. That is what we are after. That our trust in God's wisdom and His power, that allows us to be calm in the middle of the storms that life is throwing our way. But as Philippians 4 teaches, that peace only comes from prayerful trust in the Lord. The last passage that we'll look at this morning is in 1 Peter chapter 5. Turn with me there. I'll go slow so you can turn to this one. 1 Peter chapter 5. And as you're turning there, I will make mention where there are two psalms on the board that I didn't go over. And if you grab a handout, you'll see a number of passages that weren't on the PowerPoint. I tried to include every verse on the handout where that word for anxiety is used in the New Testament. So you can study this further. And we can talk about this more at length. If you have questions, maybe you've come to a different conclusion. I'd love to chat with you about that. And so hopefully in that, grabbing those handouts, you will have all the relevant passages to this topic. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Brethren, we need to heed Peter's admonishment here. That we need to take our loads, we need to take our burdens, our anxieties, we need to take them right to the Lord. But the Greek word for anxiety, notice that appears twice in this verse, which makes for a pretty significant point. Why do we take our anxieties to the Lord? Well, because on the other hand, He is anxious and righteously concerned for you. And what a thought that is. Psalm 8:4 says, what is a man that you are mindful of him? What a thought that our God has righteous concern, that the Lord cares for each one of us, that He cares for me. And that's something that can comfort us in the midst of whatever we are going through. that we take our anxieties, we take the pressures, we take the burdens of this life, and we run straight to the Lord. Maybe you've seen those shirts or a meme, whatever they form or fashion they come in, where they say, keep calm, and then there's something that follows it. You know, keep calm, and Netflix is a common one that I've seen. You know, when in doubt, just watch Netflix. Keep calm, and sadly, one that I've seen is Roll Tide. People say that. You know, keep calm, and beach life. Keep calm, summer. I mean, whatever you can think of, someone's already made it into a shirt or something like that. A common one I see a lot is keep calm and trust in Jesus. Don't get it backwards, because that is backwards. We don't get calm and then go to Jesus. When the anxieties hit, we go straight to Jesus, and then we have the peace that surpasses all understanding. Next month, in March, first Sunday of the month, Lord willing, we're going to continue this series. And I like to let you know what's coming up, because you know I don't put out handouts on the morning when we cover this series. And so in the month of March, we're going to be talking about anxious about serving. What happens when we become like Martha and we are just anxious about good things? Things that aren't sinful in and of themselves. The responsibilities of our jobs, our roles as fathers and mothers, as a wife, a husband, or a child. The burdens and the duties that we have to the local congregation and as a servant of Christ. Maybe it's possible that we become like Martha and we become anxious and distracted with much serving. And so we're going to discuss that in more detail next month, and I hope that you will be able to be with us then. I hope this lesson has been not just informative, but it's been practical and helpful in your understanding anxiety from a biblical perspective. That when we're dealing with anxiety, I hope what you take away from this lesson is take it straight to the Lord. Before you look inward, before you post about it on Facebook, before you even maybe reach out to brother and sister in Christ, take it to the Lord. And why do we take it to the Lord? Well, we've pointed out a number of reasons in this lesson already, but I'll give you one more as we close. Hebrews 4 talks about how Jesus is our great mediator. And in verses 15 and 16, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need." There's your answer. That anxiety you feel, that stress that you're going through, Jesus has felt it. He can relate, and He did it all without sin, so you take it to Him. But another blessing about having Christ as our mediator is that through His blood we can stand before God. If it weren't for the blood of Christ, we'd be condemned to die. Sinners, unclean, unfit to stand before God, but through His blood we can be washed, we can be cleansed, we can be made white as snow. If you're here this morning and you are not a child of God, you have a chance right now to put on Christ in baptism. You've heard the word of God and you believe it. You're ready to confess Jesus as the Son of God, turning from the sin in your life. We love to assist you in being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Or maybe you're here this morning and you are a child of God, and yet you realize that the anxiety you're dealing with, you have not been dealing with it in the right way. Or maybe you have sin that you're not dealing with in the correct way, and you would like the prayers of the brethren on your behalf. We love to assist you with that as well. Your subject, the Heaven's Invitation, we invite you to come to the front as we stand and sing the song selected.